Good morning, everyone. I just want to thank those who have responded to our call to find 30 sponsors, each one donating $1,000 to help us lower the price for our Jubilee banquet at the end of July. We asked for 30, and 31 of you have responded. I want to thank God for each one of you, so thank God for that. So the committee have not set the price of the each seat yet. I think you'll be around $30. And even for $30, some among us may not even be able to afford. So those of you who cannot donate the 1K, you can help one another to buy seats for those, especially in your CG or among us in the church, whom you think may not be able to afford. We want everybody to join in this celebration. Our Jubilee celebration. I hope at least 600 of us will be there for that banquet. We are beginning our sermon series on the book of Joshua, Living Courageously in a World of Opportunity. So it will lead us all the way up to our Jubilee celebration that weekend, so until late July. Let me begin with an inspiring story from Singapore's recent history. On May 20th, 2009, the Singapore Women's Everest Team, Singapore Women's Everest Team made history as the first all-female team to reach the top of the world's tallest mountain. Led by Jane Lee, 25 years old only. Jane Lee is the one in the middle on the right, more on your right side. She was just 25 years old. Team members, Lily Hui, 27, Esther Tan, 26, Joanne Su, 39, and Li Pegi, 32. Five of them successfully reached the summit after 5 years of rigorous training and preparation. I say five, but there are six ladies here. The co-leader, Sim Yi Hui, did not ascend to the top of Everest because she was having some recurring chest pains. But still, you can see her courage, the 66 ladies. Imagine the courage that it took, these six women, facing freezing winds, treacherous paths, the daunting height of the tallest mountain in the world. Many doubted whether they could make it, all ladies group. There were moments of exhaustion and setbacks, even fear, I believe. But they pressed on, not just for themselves, but for the country and for every woman who dared to dream big. What carried them through? It wasn't just their training or determination. I believe it was their courage to take the first step and their courage to encourage one another along the way and the courage to believe that they are not alone. In fact, when I went on their official website, you can go on Google and type Singapore Women Everest Team on the website, I learned that a group of teachers and students from Christ Church in Woodlands, this Christ Church Secondary School in Woodlands, they went all the way to the base of the Mount Everest just to support these six women in the ascent of Everest. So in a sense, the whole nation was behind them. It was 17 years ago. And they reached the summit, and their achievement became a beacon of hope to many. See, brothers and sisters, just like these women, we too face our own Everest moments, opportunities and challenges in our life, in every season that requires courage. And so today, as we begin our sermon series on the book of Joshua, we'll see that, especially we look at chapter 1, we'll see that God calls us to the same kind of courage. Not just to face the mountains in our lives, but also to possess the promises that he has given us, to live according to His word, to walk confidently in His presence. And we'll see what it means to live courageously in this world of opportunity. See, I believe God is still looking for people who are willing to be strong and courageous, not just for our own career advancement, but to go for His kingdom purposes. He's looking for people, young and old, who are willing to step out in faith and obedience to His direction for our lives, both as individual Christians as well as a church. So let us pray. God, our gracious Heavenly Father, we must confess that we are so comfortable within the safety of the four walls of the church that we seldom dare to venture out beyond our comfort zones. But today, as we listen to your word, may your Holy Spirit stir within our hearts a bold courage to become risk takers for you and for your kingdom's purposes. For our Lord Jesus' sake, amen. Imagine yourself as Joshua standing on the threshold of the promised land, with the destiny of the entire nation, the Israelites, hanging precariously on your next move. You are the leader. What you are going to do will determine the destiny of that entire nation. How would you feel if you are Joshua, if you are the leader? Moses is gone. Now you are the leader. How would you feel? I don't know about you, but I think I'll be nervous. I'll be anxious. I'll be fearful. And I believe Joshua was in such a state of mind that God spoke to him very firmly, "Be strong and courageous." Not just once, but three times in chapter 1, God said to Joshua, "Be strong and courageous." And from this thrice repeated command, "Be strong and courageous," we see three reasons why you and I need to be strong and courageous as we face the many challenges in this world of opportunity. So if you follow along the outline in your bulletin, three reasons why we need to be strong and courageous. Firstly, we need courage in enforcing possession of the land. Verses 1 to 6. Moses, the great leader, is now dead. But God's purpose is still very much alive. God's purpose doesn't depend on the humans that he used. God's purpose is still very much alive. And Joshua is now the new leader. And his task is to lead God's people into the promised land to possess it after having wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. So let me read verses 1 to 6. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all these people, into the land that I'm giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your feet will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them." So God is giving the land to the sons of Israel, but they must go in to possess it. God's people must arise and go over the Jordan River if they were ever going to possess the land that God has promised them. So when God gives us something, we have to take the action to claim it. And this helps us to help us appreciate the difficult challenge that Joshua and the Israelites were facing at this moment. Let me paint the scenario that he's facing right now. Chapter 3, verse 15 tells us that at this time, the Jordan River has already overflowed its banks. And that means it's not just one river, the whole place is flooded. And it is very challenging for the whole nation to cross. When we come to a later chapter, we'll talk more about that in detail. So that was the challenge Joshua for facing. For modern armies, such situations will become very difficult. But for the Israelites at that time, it was a human impossibility. And yet, God gives Joshua this command. And no hint of how Joshua was going to do it. God didn't tell you how to do it. He just gave him this command. Have you been in such a situation when God asked you to do a humanly impossible task, but he doesn't tell you exactly how you're going to do it? He asked you to just trust him, and you just take the first step. And God, over time, will show you how it is to be done. Perhaps some of us are in such a situation right now in this season of our life. Like Joshua, we need to be strong and courageous and to step up in faith. You see, in any challenging venture, the first step is always the most important. It's difficult, of course, but most important. And this is especially when it comes to spiritual matters. But if God asks you to take the first step, we need to just do it. Taking the first step is the key to appropriating many of the spiritual blessings that God wants us to enjoy as Christians individually and as a church. So, brothers and sisters, in this season of your life, what is a first step that God wants you to take to live courageously in this world of opportunity? Is there some River Jordan in your life that you must cross? The command to go, to arise and go over, is given to both Joshua and the people. Joshua, as the leader, must show the way, and the people must follow. Leaders are supposed to lead. Leaders don't follow. They don't follow the people, the members. They lead, and they must take the first step, and God's people will follow behind. How much land they were going to possess will depend on how much ground they are willing to cover with their feet. So God is telling them, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you. So throughout the Joshua series, right into chapter 24, you will see how God's people possess the land. Literally, every ground that their feet tread upon, God gave the land to them. Even though God gave them the land already, but they must literally tread the ground and possess it. We took the first step as a church, the first step of faith, when we moved from Sennett Road to this location here in Pasir Ris some 30 years ago. And just about 1 year ago, God renewed our list. So we are going to be here for the next 30 years. So this is the land that God has given to us. Taking the first step was very important. But God expects us to take further steps of faith so that we may possess the land that God has given us. We are not meant to just have a cozy environment here on a Sunday morning, but we are to touch and transform our community with the love of God. He wants us to take further steps. When God tells Joshua and the people that every place that their feet tread belongs to them, the implication is that they must fight for it, because the inhabitants in this land will not easily give up. They had to be chased out. For you see, the Canaanites were a warlike people. Some of them were giants, especially the Anakims, who lived in fortified cities. We shall come to that when we look at Jericho. I think that was in, that will be in chapter 6. And they will not give up the land easily without giving the people of God a good fight. So possessing the land is not going to be easy. But if God's people were to work hard and fight for it, to possess it, they will have it. Why? Because God has already given them the title deeds to the land. In the same manner, God, by His sovereign grace, has placed our church here in Pasir Ris for a purpose. In a sense, He had already given us the title deed to this community, so to speak. It is really up to us how we want to work to possess the land for His glory. I want us to notice that the exhortation to be strong and courageous is given to Joshua as the leader. As the leader of God's people, he's to help God's people to enforce the possession of the land. And the Lord has something to say to those of us who are leaders in the church, or those who aspire to be leaders. If we don't have the spiritual courage, spiritual strength, or the moral courage, don't be leaders, because we will doom God's people to mediocrity. Leaders must be strong and courageous to lead, or else the church will follow weak leaders who won't possess the land. We are here to possess the land. God doesn't put us here just to enjoy ourselves on a Sunday morning like this. He wants us to go out and touch and transform this community. So that's the first reason why we need to be strong and courageous to enforce possession of the land. The second reason why we need to be strong and courageous is in encouraging practice of God's word. Verses 7 and 8. To conquer the land and to divide it fairly among the different tribes is quite a challenging task for Joshua, as we shall see in our series on Joshua. It requires the talent of a military commander and also the wisdom of a prime minister, how he's going to divide the land. Of course, God will give him some guidelines along the way. But to set the people of God on the right course spiritually, so that they will trust God and obey Him and seek His agenda continuously, to me, that is a more challenging task than to just simply divide the land. And so God said to Joshua, verse 7 and verse 8, only be strong. This is the second time God saying to him, only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, but you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. The call for Joshua to be strong and courageous is repeated. This is the second time. Notice that Joshua is required not merely to know the law of Moses in his head, but he's to do it. In other words, he's to obey it. He's to practice. As Christians, many of us know the Bible, especially if you've been Christian for many years. We know what is in the Word of God, but do we obey it? Do we practice it? That is the key. Notice also that Joshua is not only to obey some parts of the law, but he's to obey all the law, all of it. How is Joshua to obey God's word fully, not just partially, but fully? He has to be careful to do all according to the law. So there is this intention, intentionality. He has to be careful in obeying God's law, not turning to the right or to the left. I believe one reason why many Christians and many churches today are so anemic and weak is because we have the tendency to choose and pick portions of the Bible that we want to obey, and then certain portions we don't want to obey. We disregard certain portions, especially those that require us to count the cost of discipleship and to move out of our comfort zone to serve God's kingdom purposes in the community God has placed us. So we focus on how to get prosperous, how to have God's healing, and how to have peace of God in our life. But then when it comes to moving outside of our comfort zone to engage the community, engage people who have not yet known Christ, and to bring them to the saving knowledge and the love of God, that we leave it aside. So that's not completely obeying God. How can we be careful to do all that is written in the Word of God? The secret is that we meditate on it day and night. This does not mean that you and I read our Bible 24/7 nonstop, then we wouldn't be doing other things, really. It doesn't mean to meditate on the Word of God day and night. It doesn't mean that we just read the Bible and do nothing else. To meditate on the Word of God day and night simply means think about God's Word, how it applies to our life and ministry. Whenever we make decisions in our lives, big or small decisions, God's Word must be center of it all. In other words, we live our lives and we serve based on the Word of God. Chew on the Word of God, so to speak. Digest it so that it becomes part of our thoughts and part of our actions. And those who aspire to do anything for God must be men and women of the Word of God. They must meditate on God's Word day and night. So much so that it's not our own human wisdom, our own human fear, or trying to play it safe that determine our actions or decisions. It is what the Word of God says. That is what it means to meditate on the Word of God day and night. Now, why is full obedience to the Word of God so important? For Joshua, prosperity and success in the conquest of the land of Canaan depended on his full obedience to the Word of God, so that you may have good success wherever you go. I know many Christians, when they come to this verse, you see, Pastor, God wants us to be prosperous and successful. God wants me to advance in my career. God wants me to be rich, to make good investment, all those things. But in the context, this prosperity and success is not our own prosperity and success. It's prosperity and success in the task that God has entrusted to Joshua and entrusted to us. So success and prosperity in what God has commanded us to do in the context. So do we want to be successful in the task that God has entrusted to us as a church? Then we must carry out this task in God's ways as spelled out for us in His Word. Not our own human wisdom, not our own human calculations. Next week, when we look at chapter 2, I want to challenge us to be real risk takers for God and not just play safe, you know, with our human resources. Even some of these human resources God has blessed us with. We must dare to be risk takers for God. So more about that next week. We must not turn from the right or to turn to the right or to the left. We must do exactly as God tells us in His Word. We have no problem understanding why God's people need strength and courage to possess the land. Why? Because the enemies need to be driven out. But why is strength and courage called for in the practice of God's Word? Why do we need strength and courage to practice God's Word? You see, for Joshua, he had to teach it to the people he's leading, and they might not readily receive it. From my experience as a pastor, I've learned that when you teach God's Word, and God's people agree with you, you know what they'll say about you? They will say, "Wow, Pastor, you are a man of conviction. they will be very happy. But when you teach God's word and it goes against their scheme of things, they will accuse you of all sorts of things. That's what I learned from experience as a pastor. And that's why you need strength and courage to obey God's word all the way. So for those among us, if you aspire to be a teacher and preacher of God's word, if you aspire to be a leader, you must have strength of character, moral courage to teach what God says in His word, what God lays upon your heart from His word. Whether people or not will follow, doesn't matter. What God says to you from His word is most important. So like the Apostle Paul, those of us who are teachers and preachers of God's word, we must make sure that our preaching must not be based on human wisdom or the persuasive words of human eloquence, but it must be in demonstration of the power of God, so that the faith of those who hear our teaching not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God and His word. So that is our challenge. Not only must we teach the word of God, but we must also live personally by it. A leader cannot tell people, let's charge up this mountain, but he himself stay back. He must charge up the mountain together with the people. And we must do that. And by God's grace, I believe I've shown you the example. When I talk about reaching out to the community, I'm in the front line together with you to reach out and touch our community. And that is a tremendous challenge. Do you now see why it calls for strength of character and moral courage to obey the word of God? It needs a lot of strength and courage. And this brings us to our third and final point. Courage in experiencing presence of the Lord. Verse 5 and verse 9. The devil uses two common strategies against God's people. The two strategies are, number one, fear, and number two, discouragement. Whenever God calls us to do something great for Him, the devil will come and whisper into our ears and put fear upon our heart. Are you sure you can do it? Do you have all the necessary resources? Do you think God's people will respond? What if God leave you on the lurch? So you see, fear is a common strategy that the devil will use to prevent us from fulfilling God's purpose. So those who aspire to be leaders in the church must understand this strategy of the devil and don't listen to it. And when we overcome fear and step forward to trust God in doing what God asks us to do, then the devil will try his second strategy, which is discouragement. See what I tell you, he said. See what I tell you? Even God's people are not responding. They're not buying what you say. Now that you are experiencing a little difficulty, why not just give up before things become worse? That's how the devil will whisper discouragement into our ears. And so many Christians and many churches give in to the devil's strategies of fear and discouragement. So instead of following God all the way wholeheartedly, they try to play safe and only follow part of it. And sometimes they can even couch it in very spiritual terms, being deluded that they are following God's will, but they are not. They are listening to the whispers of the devil. Hence, God's command to Joshua the third time now, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be terrified. And do not be discouraged. See the two strategies, the devil? Do not be afraid, fear. Do not be discouraged. Do not be dismayed. Let me read verse 5 and verse 9. No man shall be to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. So here you see God's promise of his presence. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God may not always set us free from problems and difficulties in life, but we can have freedom from fear and discouragement. These are the two strategies that the devil wants to hinder us from fulfilling God's purpose. And God's promise to Joshua is that no one shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Not the giants of the land, nor any opponents among the Israelites. Welcome to the real world. When we do God's work, even among God's people, there will be opponents. That's basically because we are humans and we have all sorts of problems, humans. And the leader must be able to overcome that. And so not only the giants of the land or even the opponents, as we shall see in the book of Joshua later on, how God's purpose go ahead because Joshua took God's command to be strong and courageous, and he just simply did that. No one can stop Joshua as he took those steps of faith as ordered, commanded by God. And the promise remains true for us today, brothers and sisters. When we take those steps of faith as commanded by God, nothing and no one will be able to stand before us. This is God's promise. And to help Joshua understand what he means by that, God gives him an assurance. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. God was with Moses when he withstood Pharaoh of Egypt and his mighty army. In Pharaoh's palace in Egypt, by the river Nile, when he turned the water into river Nile into blood. And of course, we know about the 10 plagues. And then by the Red Sea, when God drowned the mighty Egyptian army. God was with Moses. And looking ahead, God will be with Joshua when he leads the people to cross the flooded Jordan River, when they took the city of Jericho. I'm looking forward to chapter 6, how God used an unconventional way to conquer the city of Jericho. And in chapter 10, when God stopped the sun, the solar system, and I'll give some evidence, even in modern scientific evidence about how actually there's evidence that this was the sun stopped for a few moments when God gave Joshua enough sunlight to defeat the enemies. So God will be with Joshua, as we shall see, as he was with Moses, as they possessed the land and drove out the seven nations in the land of Canaan. The promise, I will not leave you nor forsake you, may be translated as I will not drop you or abandon you. If I may use another phrase, God say, I will not leave you on the lurch. When you do what I command you to do, I will not leave you on the lurch. This promise is literally fulfilled throughout Joshua's life, as we shall see. Now, let me pose a question to you. We understand why strength and courage are needed to possess the land, because battles have to be fought, the warlike tribes have to be conquered, the fortified cities have to be taken. We understand why you need strength and courage to possess the land. We also understand now why strength and courage is needed to follow, to obey God's word totally and fully, not just partially. Why? Because it often goes against our human wisdom. But the question is, why is strength and courage needed to experience the presence of the Lord? Now, I want you to listen very carefully. strength and courage are needed to live and minister in the presence of God, because when God leads us in His presence, He often leads us beyond our comfort zone into unexpected manners and routes, beyond our comfort zone. Just like I shared with you, I think a few weeks ago, about how God led Rudy Tuslin, this young Singaporean couple in the late 30s, Rudy Tuslin, the architect, and his wife, Bao Yan, to go to, of all places, war-torn Ukraine, right at the beginning of the war 4 years ago, even into the trenches where the Ukrainian soldiers were. That is God's presence. And it needs courage to obey God and move in His presence into those areas. It needs courage even to live in God's presence. God's promise to be with Joshua wherever he goes is contingent on Joshua's readiness to go where God leads him, where God wants him to go. So, brothers and sisters, if you want to experience God's presence in your life, then you must be willing to go where God calls you to go. You must be willing to do what God wants you to do. Even the unexpected. Even when it means you have to move out of your comfort zones. So I want us to know that, you know, to become a Christian, it's not just to enjoy the presence of God, the love of God, and all those things. All those things are important. But to be a genuine Christian, we must follow Christ, as we say in a previous, just completed series on discipleship. We must be willing to go where God wants us to go. That is why strength of character and moral courage are needed for us to live and serve in the presence of God. About 10 years ago, when I turned 60, I told the Lord with an open heart, I was praying to the Lord with an open heart, that I would go wherever He wanted me to go. Even to China, I was saying, even though my Chinese not very good then, slightly better now, still not very good, I was telling God, even if you ask me to go to China, I will go. So I was that serious with God. If that was His will for me. And it was around that time that I met the elders of PPMC, and I received the invitation to come to this church to be your pastor, to serve as your pastor. It meant leaving Woodlands EFC, which is just right next door to my home in Woodlands, and then making the journey to Pasir Ris every day to become your pastor. Not long after I accepted the call to come here to be your pastor, PJEFC, the largest EFC church in Malaysia, the chairman called me long distance and give me the same call, you know, come and be our senior pastor. They have some young pastor there, and they wanted me to just mentor them. And because I just spoke at a church camp, and they wanted me to go and help them. And I had to very diplomatically decline that. Why? Because I said I already answered the call, you know, of a church, this church in Singapore. And after I received the call, I thank God, you know, a sigh of relief. Thank God I'm traveling to Pasir Ris. Not every weekend I have to travel all the way to PJ to preach. So I really thank God for that. So that was how serious. Remember I said to you a few months back, even at the end of last year, I was telling you that I'm in that season of my life. I was turning 70. I just turned 70 in January, and I was again praying the same prayer: God, I will go wherever you lead me. And so I was still praying this prayer. Well, I remember when I first came to BBMC, I made a promise to lead this church until our Jubilee year. So this is our Jubilee year. And by God's grace, we have reached our Jubilee year together, and I'm grateful that with His enabling, I've kept this promise. About 2 months ago, I informed our chairman and then subsequently the elders that I will be stepping down as senior pastor of this church at the end of this year. And I will take on a smaller role somewhere else. It has been a privilege and a joy to serve you, and I trust that the Lord will continue to lead us in the days and in the years ahead. And next week in our church bulletin, in fact, I've written the article. So next week, you read my article. You understand a bit about how I came to this decision, so you can read about it. But I was telling our sister Linda and also our elder Winston that I feel peace of mind to leave the church as far as the pulpit ministry is concerned because we have groomed up Pastor Tiffany. I'm sure you agree with me. I've heard her preach since she came out of Bible College about 2 years ago. And every sermon I hear Pastor Tiffany preach, I feel ministered to. I'm sure you do the same way. So I was telling them that I feel peace of mind to live because this church will be fed the Word of God. I only want to say to the men, especially in our midst, just because Pastor Tiffany is maybe not so experienced, is young, and she's a lady, a preacher, and she grew up in this church. It's always more challenging. Even Jesus, they rejected because you grew up in a location, people tend to don't give you the kind of respect. But so I want to say to the men in our midst, as long as Pastor Tiffany preaches the Word of God, that is her authority. Let us humble ourselves, especially as men, more mature men. To humble ourselves and to listen. So I think the church will be well fed through the pulpit ministry. By the way, next month, we have another pastor coming in, not to take my place as senior pastor, but as pastor in charge of pastoral care. So Pastor Ramel will be joining us from next month onwards. And then we also have a younger pastor, Pastor Brandon. He will become our youth pastor, and also he will also help us run our community outreach program. So, by the way, Pastor Brandon told me that he will be coming next Saturday for our Jubilee Fun Day. So, as you introduce yourself to some of our new visitors, and he asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Brandon." That's most likely the guy. So, Pastor Brandon will join us in September. So meanwhile, also pray for our leaders as they begin the search for the next senior pastor, a younger person who will lead us beyond Jubilee. So that is, I thought it would be a good opportunity for us in this session to talk about my plan. Okay, so pray for our leaders as they begin this search, okay, for the next senior pastor. Let's very quickly look at how the people responded. Okay, so from verses 10 to verse 18, that was how the people responded. I don't have time to read them. But I just want to say that this is what they responded in verse 18. "All that you have commanded us, we will do. Wherever you send us, we will go." Every leader of God's people would wish for this kind of response from the people of God. You know, pastor, leader, wherever you send us, we will go. You say, "Chong, we will chong together with you." And every leader would want this kind of response. So that was how they responded to Joshua when he encouraged them. It was an enthusiastic, wholehearted response. It's a pledge of total allegiance and obedience to the leader God has chosen, and hence to God whom the leader represents. So when you follow a leader, you're not following a human being. You are following the divine authority behind that. And contrast this absolute obedience by the people with the rebelliousness of their forefathers in the wilderness, the previous 40 years. That's why next week you will see that the whole generation died in the wilderness, except for Joshua and Caleb, who entered the promised land. So there was a contrast. Notice that there's one condition that the people of God put forward to Joshua. They're willing to follow Joshua, provided he shows the clear evidence that he's being led by God. Just as we obey Moses in all things, so we will obey you, Joshua. Only may the Lord, your God, be with you as he was with Moses. So that was the only condition that they have. In response, let me quickly tell, I know we are running a bit out of time, but I think this conclusion is very important. In 1269, Kublai Khan made a remarkable request from Beijing to Rome. And his request was this, to the Pope in Rome, send us 100 wise men, missionaries of the Christian religion. And so I shall be baptized, he said. Send us 100 men to teach us the way of Christ. And I will be baptized, all my noblemen will be baptized, and all their subjects will be baptized. And there'll be more Christians here in China than in Rome. But what happened to his request? Send us 100 men so that we all be converted. What happened? Pope Gregory X responded by sending two Dominican friars. I get this image from AI. And they sent me these two modern Dominican priests. I said, I want those Dominican priests in Kublai Khan time, Pope, and they still sent me these two things. So anyway, it must be imagine in more ancient form. Instead of sending 100 missionaries to China, Pope Gregory X sent only two missionaries to China. Sadly, these two Dominican priests went as far as Armenia. Armenia is just before Iraq, before Iran. And because the journey was so tough, they turned back. They never reached China. And so what might have been the greatest missionary opportunity in church history just quietly just slipped away. See, brothers and sisters, I believe God is still speaking to us today, urging us to get ready now to share his gospel with real effectiveness right here in our community. He's preparing us for the promised land, new territory, new blessings, a fresh outpouring of his Holy Spirit. We stand on the verge of something new, and now is the time for us as a church to reach our community with the love of Christ. As we close, let me remind ourselves, God never calls us to walk alone. Just as he assured Joshua, I will be with you, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He's giving us the same assurance. True courage is not the absence of fear, it is the presence of faith, even when we feel afraid. So as we stand right now, as we respond, let me call the worship team, Elder June and his worship team back on stage. As we sing this response song, may we in our heart make the decision to respond to the Lord's challenge. We are living in a world that is full of opportunities. Let us be willing to obey God all the way, not partially, but all the way. Amen.